Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She has been like a Pisces when I'm weak. I've been locked inside your heart-shaped box for weeks.
Hi, hello everyone. Welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast. I would probably say calling this an emergency podcast is dramatic, but judging by Tottenham Twitter's response to the signing of Joe Hart, there's an awful lot of pearl clutching going on. So it does seem to be, you know, I think the billing of it being an emergency pod probably is suitable. But, you know, just to allay any fears potentially, or maybe even stoke the flames, we've got the ever wonderful David Mooney on the podcast. How are you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad, thanks. All good?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Thanks for coming back on quite last minute. But felt like we needed a bit of balance in the conversation here at the moment, because, like I say, it is all quite doom and gloom. But before we dive into that, I just wanted to sort of just see how you're getting on. How's lockdown treated you?
It's been fine, really. We bought a house just before it all started, which in theory should have been perfect timing for us to get a lot of things done, but apparently not. We haven't done anything on it, so it is what it is. It's been okay. I'm not going to pretend that it's been all hunky dory, because it's been a stressful time, but yeah, it's the same stress for everybody. So you know, the listeners and you and everyone knows what it's like. I'm lucky in that I've not had it as bad as a lot of people have. You know, I don't know anyone that's had the virus. I suspect I have had it, but if I have had it, then it wasn't a strong case of it. It was quite mild symptoms. There are people that have had it far worse than I have, so I honestly can't complain.
It's quite mad, isn't it, that we're kind of in the midst of this thing that we don't really know much about other than that it exists.
Yeah.
It's quite bad. So yeah, there we go, I guess, on that one. But also, I guess it would be pertinent to ask at the moment, is it, well, or it might be too soon, Champions League quarterfinal? how are you kind of feeling as a City fan?
It's weird, because the only thing that was missing from that quarterfinal was for City to have missed a penalty, and then yeah, it would have just been a complete microcosm of the season. I actually think the game at the new White Hart Lane is probably the microcosm of City's season, because I still were months on from that game, and I have no idea how City didn't win it. You know, it's just there was absolutely no way that Spurs should have had a hope in hell's chance of getting anything out of that game the way it unfolded, and yet it just, yeah, I mean, ultimately Spurs were worthy winners, and it just, like, it boggles the mind to think that. My favourite stat that sums City up this season, and I'm sorry to be the XG guy, but it's right. It's City against Spurs in both games in the XG. In the game at the Etihad, Spurs' XG was 0.07 and you scored twice. And like City's was something like 5.1 or something daft like that. And that just sums up why City have been as they are this season. You know, they can stick 8 past Watford, but then on a day where they really, really need to score one goal to get a point against Southampton, they can play all day and never score. And that's why they finished so far behind Liverpool. That's why they got knocked out of all the cups but the League Cup. It's been a frustrating old season watching them batter some teams and then forget what a football is in other games.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate, because the only stat that matters is how many times the ball went in the back of the net. You know what I mean? Right? But, all right, Joe Hart, I mean...
Yeah.
There is this kind of part, because it seems to me that there's even a lot of what I would call rational football fans at the moment who are... I think just to caveat that firstly, I think football is a totally irrational pursuit anyway, and that's kind of why we love it. But within the context of that, anyway, it seems to me that a lot of people are really quite put out by the recruitment of Joe Hart. There's this idea that he's spent, or that he's had a couple of seasons where he's just looked downright awful with West Ham and with Burnley. But just before we kind of, I guess, go into the here and now, I'd be interested to hear from you kind of the good things, because what is being championed, especially by the club and by certain journalists, is that they can understand why Mourinho would go for a player like Hart, because he is a proven winner, shall we say. Two Premier Leagues under his belt with you, and I believe a few League Cups as well. I mean, what? Just kind of, you know, I guess what I want to know is, like, what do you think he can bring to us first and foremost?
Well, I think we do have to caveat this conversation with that he hasn't had a good few years. I really hope this move works out for him, because I think it's a brilliant move for him. And if it works, I think it's a brilliant move for Spurs as well. There's this idea around Joe Hart that, and it's certainly been, there's been a lot of kind of, it's gained a lot of momentum in the last few years. The idea that he was never actually very good. And I can tell you straight off, that's bollocks. He was fantastic for City for a long, long time. And I mean, I also have to carry out this and say that I am a fully paid up member of the goalkeepers union, because I play in goal myself. So I've grown up watching City goalkeepers and kind of copying bits of their style and that sort of stuff when I play. Obviously not quite to the same level that they do, but you know. And City have been lucky. City have had some great goalkeepers down the years, back from when I was growing up. My first real kind of goalkeeper icon at City was Nicky Weaver in the late 90s. They went on through, they had David James, you know, they had David Seaman for a bit. He was a bit of a spent force by then. They've had Peter Schmeichel, who was fantastic for a season. You know, Andreas Isaacson was a good goalkeeper, didn't really show it at City because Joe Hart came in and just took his place when Sven was the manager. Sven came in and he had the Swedish number one international goalkeeper in Isaacson. He had a very young Kasper Schmeichel and a fairly young Joe Hart. And he gave them all about 10 or 12 games at the start of the season just to prove or to find out who was going to be his number one. And Joe Hart, hands down, was the best goalkeeper there. He was progressing really well. Mark Hughes came in and basically didn't fancy him. Signed Shea Given, and I think I'd heard Joe Hart speaking recently on Nedim Manua's podcast, saying about Mark Hughes doing everything he could to sign a goalkeeper. So he obviously didn't fancy him and sent him off on loan to Birmingham, which was probably the best thing that he could have done, because when Hart came back off that loan from Birmingham, Given was the City number one. Hughes had been sacked and Mancini had come in his place. And he had that decision to make on the opening day of the season at White Hart Lane of who he was going to pick. And he picked Joe Hart, and it was a phenomenal display. It was a 0-0 draw on the opening day of the 10-11 season. And if Hart can produce any sort of form that is even halfway to what he was producing for City in that first kind of block where he was excelling week after week after week, kind of like 2010 to 2012 ish, then you know he won't just be number two for you; he'll be pushing Lloris for number one. He's a fantastic goalkeeper when things are working out for him. The problem is it hasn't been working out for him for about 4 years now.
How old was he when he broke through?
He was about, I think it's about 18, 19 when he got his debut. That was when Stuart Pearce was City manager. He played one game in 2006-07, and then he kind of established himself as number one midway through 2007-08, so the year later. So he must have been 20, 21 when he established himself as City number one. Then when he came back off that loan, we're talking, you know, 22-ish. Can't be much older than 22, 23.
So, I mean, because one thing I have seen floated is that he potentially, it's you know, again, it's a stick which I've seen kind of Christian Eriksen or Wayne Rooney beaten with, is that perhaps they had their career a bit earlier, because it seems to be that he broke through quite early as a goalkeeper, and by the same logic, it seems to be that he's kind of perhaps on the downward turn before a goalkeeper characteristically would do, because he's actually younger than Lloris as well, which a lot of people are kind of neglecting to mention. There's this idea that he's some kind of old hat we brought in, but he's still seemingly a young goalkeeper, really,
yeah,
relatively.
He's been around, it's because he's been around the top of the game for so long. Like you think when he became City number one under Mancini, and we're talking 2010, it's like it's a decade ago. And so naturally you think anybody that's been around for a decade is on the wane. And when you think that the age he is, I think he's a year older than me, which makes him 33. And he could get another 5, 6, 7 years out of a goalkeeper at the top level at that age. And I honestly think Hart, I think he needs a break. I just think he needs something to go his way. He needs another one of those games where nothing gets past him, and
like the Barcelona game.
Yeah, he just needs something like that. And I do feel really sorry for him, because it was, I'll talk you through his downfall at City, which I think has contributed a lot to his recent form. They obviously, Guardiola was announced in about February time, 2016. Manuel Pellegrini had a press conference. He said he was stepping down at the end of the season. A couple of hours later, the club announced that they'd agreed a deal with Guardiola. Everything kind of looked rosy from there. And Hart, it coincided with Joe Hart already having a little bit of a downturn in form. He'd let in a couple of soft goals in the January-February time. And it looked like he was having one of those patches where he might need to be dropped again to have a few games out and then come back in. It had happened at the start of Pellegrini's tenure at City in 2013. Mm. And he came back into the team then. And I think Kostel Pantelimon had about 10 games in. Hart came back in and was brilliant till the end of the season and helped City win the league in the end that season. He didn't get dropped that year, and it just kind of, it almost like festered until the end of the season. He's kind of in different form. And then Guardiola comes in, obviously wants his goalkeepers to start playing with his feet, and the two just have a completely different idea of how they're going to play the game. And there's a friendly that City played in Gothenburg where basically Guardiola's instructions were, you will play the ball short to the defenders. And every time Hart got the ball, he belted it long down the field, and Guardiola wasn't happy with that. And it just, Hart talks of it being one man's opinion of his ability. And like at this stage, Guardiola was not questioning his ability to keep the ball out of the net. He was questioning his fit for the team and for his ability to play in the way that Guardiola wants his City team to play, because it all builds up to this one big whole thing rather than just keeping the ball out of the net in a bit of a kind of mid-2000s, you know, what you expect of a goalkeeper idea. They'd been linked with Ter Stegen in the end. They signed Claudio Bravo, which, I mean, ultimately didn't work out, because he might have been all right with his feet, but he couldn't keep the ball out of the net, which is a completely ironic, complete flip on what Hart was doing. But it left Hart in this really kind of, he left him in limbo, because it was obvious that he needed a new club towards the end of that transfer window. I think at that stage, Arsenal had just signed Petr Cech at that stage. So they'd got their goalkeeper sorted. Liverpool weren't on the lookout for a goalkeeper at that stage. You know, there wasn't, every one of the top teams had a goalkeeper in place, and it left him having a loan move to Torino on the cards, and that was about it. And I think he said in an interview straight afterwards, you know, I didn't have that many options. So, you know, I wasn't blessed with that choices, but, you know, I'm going to make the best of what I could. And he didn't have a great season at Torino. He then didn't have a great season at West Ham. And then, you know, Burnley took a chance on him last year, and everything was in place for him to do well at Burnley. But he ends up, you know, finishing the season, what, second, third choice goalkeeper. And like he needs a break. He needs something to fall in his favour, and hopefully that. I mean, I really hope it works out for him at Spurs. And as a City fan, that, like, I'm not supposed to like Spurs. So it's a really odd thing to say.
We're all right, though, I think, ultimately. Spurs, City, you know, it's kind of, you know, you're Spurs with money, as I often say to to Alex.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I think we kind of know what it, the, yeah, what our role is. But I did want to touch on something you spoke about there with Pep. Because, I mean, do you have any reservations about the way in which that was handled? Because it seems to be that Hart has touched on the mental struggle, really, the mental anguish that it caused him, this very public fall from grace that he had. And as much as perhaps, you know, there were stylistic nuances, shall we say, which might even downplay it a bit, but there were still stylistic differences in how they saw the game. Was there an element here of a clash of personalities as well, do you feel, that led to perhaps a sped up exit for Hart?
I suspect so. We know from his career so far, Guardiola is a stubborn man. You know, he sticks to his principles, come what may. And I do wonder if, you know, given the chance, Hart would go back and change things about his exit and actually give it a go, the sort of playing out from the back. He's not, I mean, he wasn't terrible playing with his feet. He could pass a ball short and he could, you know, he could take the pressure of an opposition player charging him down and play it on. He wouldn't have been comfortable doing what Edison does, though, for instance. So he wouldn't be, you know, passing it backwards and forwards under pressure, you know, in these kind of tight triangles that include a goalkeeper. He'd want to get rid of it as soon as he could when it was safe to do that. I think when it comes to him and Guardiola, I think he was set in his ways. Guardiola wasn't going to be able to change how he played. And so Guardiola didn't see any value in that for the team. And it was, I suppose, when you're at that stage, the England number one goalkeeper, and you know you've won at this stage, what was it, two titles with City and a couple of League Cups and an FA Cup, you're thinking, well, you know, I've been successful doing what I've doing. I don't need to change why I play because this guy's saying it. I think it.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I think it did affect him. I mean, I couldn't recommend more listening to Ned Manua's podcast with him, because he talks about the mental anguish that it caused him, and you can kind of hear a tinge of regret in his voice. And I do suspect he would actually go back and change things and at least try the footwork that Guardiola was asking. And you know, I'm not saying it would have worked out for him, but he might have, even if not at City, he might have not have had the fall from grace that he did have in the end.
Because it does seem interesting to me that, as much as, yeah, Pep's obviously been vindicated now by everything he's achieved with City, and also just the fact you now have Edison, who is, you know, one of the best goalkeepers that...
I'd say about Edison, weirdly, is last season for Edison, I don't think Joe Hart had a season for City where he was as bad as Edison was last season. Edison made quite a lot of mistakes last season. But because he's still playing in the way that Guardiola wants him to play, the bigger picture is there. It would have been unforgivable for Hart to have a season like Edison's just had, because Hart's job was solely keep the ball out of the net, and Ederson wasn't doing that at times. I mean, we saw it in the game, certainly in the game against Spurs at the Etihad. He could have done better with the first goal. He probably could have come for the cross on the second goal. They're the sorts of things that Hart would get absolutely slaughtered for, and Ederson, he's kind of gone under the radar.
Well, this is it. This is, because Bravo went on to be really an unmitigated disaster for you.
Yeah.
And I can't remember Hart really ever going for a patch like that at City. It just seemed to be that him and Guardiola simply did not see things in the same way.
Yeah, the only time Hart really fell out of form at City was the year 2013. City were defending champions going into the 12-13 season. They were doing all right. Hart was he was doing okay, and then after Christmas, it just kind of fell apart. It started with, I think, a game at St Mary's. He made two errors in the first half. At this stage, it was. You'd expect, one error in a season that would lead to a goal from Hart. He'd been playing that well. And he made two errors in a half that gifted Southampton a couple of goals. And then Gareth Barry just slotted it into the bottom corner of his own goal for no... He had so much time on the edge of the box that he just decided to slot it in the bottom corner. And it was after that game that news broke that Mancini was looking at Begovic as a potential replacement for the following season. City's form absolutely fell to pieces in the second half of that season, and they finished up trailing United by about 18, 19 points going into the kind of final six or seven games. United won the league really early. City then lost the FA Cup final, and Mancini was sacked. And if Mancini hadn't have been sacked, I think Hart's number, or certainly Hart's position, would not have been as secure as it was at City. Pellegrini came in, and there were still issues with Joe Hart's form at this stage. He was still struggling to keep the ball out of the net from some pretty soft chances at times. And then the straw that broke the camel's back was he made a complete hash of a forward ball at Stamford Bridge. Matija Nastasic running back. All Hart has to do is stay in his area, and Nastasic can head it back to him. City can get a point from Stamford Bridge. Instead, he comes rushing out for the ball. Obviously doesn't shout to Nastasic that that's what he's going to do. Nastasic heads it, and then Fernando Torres pops it in the empty net. And he was dropped at that point. And it was only after that spell out of the team. It was an easy decision for Pellegrini to drop him, because I think City had about four or five games against teams that were struggling against relegation at that stage after that. But straight after that, when Hart came back in, he was good again. And he stopped making those errors. And just that time out of the limelight did him some good. And I'm, in a weird way, I'm kind of hoping that he can get that at Spurs. If he's going into the club as a number two, he's not going in with the pressure of someone who's got to perform like he did at Burnley and like he did at West Ham.
It's interesting because it does seem to be something of a recurrent theme, though, him maybe not seeing eye to eye with the man in charge. We hear these stories of him being a leader, being very outspoken. Do you think, sometimes that can point to a lack of maturity on his part? Have you heard anything that might suggest anything to that effect?
No, I actually think the opposite. I think he's always been a bit of an old head on young shoulders, if anything. I remember when City went out of the Champions League, when they were beaten by Real Madrid in the group stage in 2012, City had gone into that group as defending champions. They were 2-1 up in the Bernabeu with about 3 or 4 minutes left and managed to lose the game. And basically Hart came out afterwards and just said, look, this isn't on. And he gave a really full and frank interview where he said, look, these are the mistakes we made and this is what we have to do to address it. And it was refreshing to hear somebody come out and say something like that, because normally, you get the platitudes of, well, we're very disappointed, we're going to work hard in training and we'll put it right next time. And Hart was, he was absolutely heartbroken about the way that the game had finished. And you could see that it meant something to him, and you could really understand, like, he was going to go back into that dressing room and he was going to bollock his teammates for what they'd done in there. It wasn't just taking responsibility, but it was taking responsibility for the actions that then needed to come. And I think that's one of his big strengths. I don't think he's just this. you know, Roy Keane labelled him arrogant a few years ago. I don't think he's arrogant at all. I think he's...
I mean, that's a bit rich for a start.
Yeah, I mean, but... of all people, yeah. If there's one person that knows about being arrogant, though, I suppose it is Roy Keane. But I don't think it's that at all. I think he's always been mature, and I think he's always been a vocal member of any dressing room that he's been in, because he's kind of a natural leader. And I think he can be that at Spurs as well, even if especially with the knowledge of not being the number one when he gets there. I suppose that like I said, does potentially ease the pressure and can kind of help the squad more than anything else.
It's funny, it might just be that, you know, he's a victim of just, I guess, how he looks in some ways. It seems quite strange to say that, but he, you know, you can just see he's got that whole sort of complete package of being a bit of a jock.
Yeah, he stands tall, doesn't he? That's the thing.
Yeah, and so I guess that does tend to maybe kind of riling people. And I have wondered if, like, a bit of the reaction to his signing is just people thinking, like, no, he's just this kind of arrogant tosser, he's going to fall out with everybody. But similarly, I'm always surprised that people are seemingly surprised that a lot of sportsmen are a bit arrogant.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you don't win the medals that Joe Hart's won by being a bad goalkeeper, by being a bad footballer. He's a great player. He's just had a bad few years.
I mean, it's almost like people have forgotten that, like, even the kids who were good at PE in school were tossers, you know? Yeah. These guys are, like, elite professional athletes, you know? It's, it is what it is. But, I mean, so I guess without focusing on the negatives anymore, what is it that if he can reclaim something of what he was at City during his kind of golden era, shall we say, what can we expect from him? What are his positives?
I have never seen saves like he made at City in his heyday. Honestly, I don't know what the demographic of the podcast is, but if you've got younger listeners that didn't see that 0-0 draw with City in 2010 on the opening day, if you can go back and watch that game, I don't know if it's online anywhere, watch that game because City won that game 0-0. Spurs battered us that day. And the only reason they didn't get through was because Joe Hart was was incredible. There was the save that stands out for me. I think it was Asu Okotu had a shot from miles out of a goal, and it flicks off the back of Sean Wright Phillips. It's looping up into the top corner, and Hart changes direction, gets across goal, and gets it over the bar. And it's on his left hand side, which, you know, there's this thing about Joe Hart doesn't save shots to his left. His left is certainly a weakness, but that's not to say that everything on his left goes in. This was incredible. There were games that you mentioned, the Barcelona game before where he pretty much single-handedly kept Messi out for 90 minutes. Messi said it was the most extraordinary goalkeeping display he'd ever seen. I actually think he played better in the game that City drew 1-1 with Borussia Dortmund at the Etihad in 2012. The reactions, I've never seen anything like it. They've been, you know, shots that where you think, oh, well, any other goalkeeper, that's flying in the top corner, and he's got a fingertip on it and it's gone over the bar or it's gone round the post. His agility when he's on form is fantastic. And I just wonder, part of me wonders if part of the reason why he's fallen apart in the last few years have been just that he's been trying too hard to get it back. You know, you know yourself, whenever you're trying really hard to do something again, it suddenly becomes a lot harder to do, and you don't relax, you tense up, and it, for whatever reason, you can't hit the notes that you want to hit. And I just wonder if part of it is him looking back on him in his own heyday and just thinking, they're the sorts of things that I need to be doing. Where actually, if he relaxed a bit and just got on with it, he might be doing that again. I don't know.
There is this quiet hope with me that there's a bit of a perfect storm brewing at Spurs at the moment, where now there seem to be just a few different threads that all seem to be coming together. That, you know, Mourinho's been written off, we've kind of been written off, Kane's been written off, we've got Joe Hart coming in. That there's a lot less pressure on Spurs and a few of the players within that across the board. And I do just wonder if that's something, again, that we're going to be able to tap into with somebody like Hart. Because I don't foresee him replacing Lloris or anything.
Well,
like
I was going to ask about Lloris, because, I mean, from an outsider's point of view, I always feel like Lloris is maybe not this season when I've watched him play against City, but in previous seasons, I've always felt he'd been good for a mistake or two at times. If you put him under pressure and you can get the ball through him, or he can gift you a pass by trying to chip it over you forward, and it always feels like there's a mistake there, not necessarily going to happen, but ready to happen. I don't know if that's something that could be ironed out just by having somebody like Joe Hart behind him. I don't know.
It definitely has been something that we've seen, more prevalent in his game in the past couple of years. But funnily enough, post lockdown, really post quarantine and football coming back, Lloris has probably played some of the best football he has in a Spurs shirt. Really, like, he's been close to impeccable since coming back, and maybe that competition will only be good for him, because really he hasn't had much in the way of an understudy for most of his Tottenham career, really. I mean, at the moment he's got Gazzaniga and he had Vorm, and Gazzaniga's okay, but he's never going to replace Lloris, as we've seen every single time that Lloris is fit and ready to play, he plays. So if Hart can get some of that back, perhaps that's part of the reason as well. And one of the other things that has been probably rightly championed is that he's another leader. Mourinho said we need leaders, or intelligent cunts, as he in that excerpt. I don't know if you've seen that.
I haven't. No.
Amazon documentary. Yeah, there's a little leaked clip of him saying that's what we need more of. We need to Tottenham need to act more like cunts, but intelligent cunts. yeah, well, shows a soft touch there, but it's been said that Harry Kane in particular has been very happy with the signing of Joe Hart because of the time they've spent together at, on England camps or something down the years. And I believe even Nick Pope called out that people are talking about Joe Hart having an absolute disaster at Burnley, but everybody loved having him around the place. I know that's a bit of a cliche, but I think these things do matter. And it seems, I don't know, there's a certain level of snobbery that tends to write this stuff off as being like, oh, it's just the talk of proper football men. But I'm not so sure that's the case.
No, I know what you're saying, because City, I always felt from a City point of view, when Hart left, the team lost something about, and I hate to use the phrase gets it, but like, Joe Hart understood City fans, and the connection between the City fans and Joe Hart was there because of a kind of a mutual understanding of what each other had to bring to this relationship. And there's a lot of players that sometimes just don't get that at whatever club they're at. And I suppose City have been fortunate, really, in the last few years, that they've had a lot of players that have that have been able to form a bond with the crowd. I mean, don't get me wrong, it helps when they're really good and they win titles. Let's not put anything about that. But Hart was at City for a long time, and he was one of the few players that could remember the really, really bad incarnation of City, because that's what it was when he joined. And he was one of the few reasons to kind of keep going back to the Etihad when Manuel Pellegrini was really, really offering uninspiring ideas. That final season of Pellegrini's, there were so many times where you'd see the team sheet and go, we're going to get mullered today, because he'd simply gone.
Feeling well, yeah. Right.
I mean, the classic was it was the year Leicester won the title, and like anybody that had watched anything of Leicester that season knew, you had to keep tabs on Jamie Vardy, and you had to make sure that Riyad Mahrez didn't get space in the midfield. So what he did was he played 4-4-2 and decided to play a really high line with Dimitrelis and possibly Otamendi as centre backs, two of the slow guys, and just thinking what they're going to do is give Mahrez a load of space in the middle and let Vardy run in behind. And lo and behold, that's what happened, and they got battered 3-1 in the end. And it was on days like that, you would go, one of the few reasons to go to the Etihad and to enjoy it was because you get to watch somebody like Joe Hart perform well and actually understand understand the passion that the fans were feeling and want to play better, because the fans want them to play better when some of the team just weren't really up to it, or the manager's ideas were not really working out as they should do. So I completely get that, you know, great guy to have around the place because he is, and that's ultimately what it is. I think if he can be that and he can find some of his form with a little bit less pressure, I think it's a fantastic move. And I don't know a City fan that doesn't want it to work out for him wherever he ends up, and you know, that the only place he could have possibly gone where they didn't want it to work out for him would have been United, I guess.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.